Good morning. Today is Tuesday, June the 14th, 169th day of the new year. Joining us this morning from the Eureka Humboldt Convention. No. Eureka Humboldt Visitors Bureau. Tony Smithers.
That's right. Good morning, Brian.
Convention. Did you have new badges and everything made?
Well, we'll get round to it when the other ones were out.
Oh, round to it. Okay. Yeah. Good. I remember those. Yeah. And you brought a buddy along. What's this all about? You double teaming on me?
I have the pleasure of having with me in the studio today Mr. Pat Willey. Pat is the chairman of the Bureau's Hospitality Committee, also a instructor in tourism and hospitality at College of the Redwoods, a general man about town in Ferndale, and a long, illustrious career in tourism and hospitality and education. And we're here to talk about some fun stuff.
Good morning.
Really? A long and illustrious career. You have to jump into that one. But before we do, our quote this morning comes from George Herbert. Don't drink the third glass.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That might be appropriate for where we're headed. Down the road, so to speak.
Some stuff you shouldn't have the second glass, frankly.
Yeah, the bad stuff. So, Pat, long and illustrious career. And what does that one mean?
Well, I was in the hospitality industry, the hotel business, primarily in accounting for about 12 years, then about 6 years developing property management and financial accounting software for hotels, then went to teach at City College of San Francisco, from which I graduated.
And got out before the current...
Before the mess?
Issues, yes.
I got out during the mess.
Yeah. Oh, you were part of it and then jumped ship.
Hopefully I was not the cause of it, but... Yeah, but taught there for about 22 years in the what was then the Hotel and Restaurant Department, now Culinary Arts and Hospitality Studies, and then moved into the Business Department where I taught financial accounting, and then moved up here about 2.5 years ago, and now I teach, I'm an associate prof at CR.
Should have brought the administration into your accounting class, huh?
Probably so, yeah. They needed a touch of that.
Just a wee little bit. Mm-hmm. So, Tony, what are you looking for out of Pat? What is this relationship that has developed now between the Visitors Bureau
right.
and CR?
Well, CR is the place where the young kids coming up today are getting the professional training and the sort of guidance on seriously looking at hospitality as a real career choice. So it's not only the skills of restaurant management and other parts of the hospitality picture, but it's the realization that it is a very worthwhile and good way to spend your life.
We'll talk about how you can spend your life. Mm-hmm. When we come back, KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with Pat Willey and Tony Smithers. Tony from the recently retitled...
Eureka Humboldt Visitor Bureau.
Okay. I didn't want to say reformed, but is that what imply?
Improvement, yes.
Yes. Going to dance a little bit. Pat, the concept of hospitality as a career obviously goes beyond the front counter and goes beyond the support staff. Does the hospitality industry get a bad rap?
a bit of a bad rap, I think. You can make an excellent career of it. And in some cases, the pay for equivalent positions in other industries is a bit less. And I think that's where the bad rap comes from. But you have folks who specialize in the same things that they would specialize in another industry. So you have a controller, you have a director of sales and marketing, you have a chief engineer. These are portable skills that you can move to other industries. I don't know. I found it to be a wonderful industry. I was never bored.
Can the small communities like Humboldt, Del Norte, Curry, can they afford that structure that you're referencing? Before the show, we were talking about some big boy broadcasters and us.
Yes.
Yeah, you get into the larger markets, and there's all kinds of strata and okay. You go to the small markets, and it's more of a jack of all trades rather than being able to really truly specialize. Is there that flexibility in those careers to be able to do it in smaller towns and smaller communities?
Yes, but again, wearing many hats. We're not going to have a 2,000-room Hilton. I know, correct me if I'm wrong, Tony.
One's being built right now.
One is being built right now. In Ferndale, I think, right? it's true that in a smaller property, you wear more hats. And some people enjoy that. I know a young woman who graduated from the hospitality program at San Francisco State University, and she always wanted to be a GM. So she started at a very small property as a general manager and then worked her way up, always as a general manager, to a larger property and a larger one and a larger one. She always wanted to run the show. If you go to work for Hilton or something, you're not going to start as a general manager. You may very well never make it to general manager and still have a good career. So,
not unless your name happens to be
Hilton.
Yes. Yeah,
although Paris, I'm not
there's a deviant gene in there somewhere. What's the biggest misnomer, guys, that people have contemplating or considering going into the hospitality industry? What's the number one thing you deal with? Because, Tony, you were playing professor up at Humboldt.
Yes.
Pat, you've been playing for a long time. What is the first thing you got to get out of their heads before you can start putting in the real stuff?
That it is a career. You want them to know that it is a career. A lot of people get into it as food servers or cocktail servers. And who hasn't done that at some point in high school or college or such? But they don't see it as a real career. There was a book written once called "I'm Only Doing This Until ... And it was about the restaurant industry. But I think we need to get it out of their heads that this is a kind of a stopgap to a different career, but that you can actually make a career of this industry.
Tony, were you running into the similar?
Yes, there's this perception that tourism is all about burger flipping jobs, or bed making jobs, et cetera. And certainly, there's a ground floor, and everyone has to start somewhere. On the other hand, at many of our better restaurants, even in Humboldt County, the wait staff with the tips that they receive make a living wage and better. I mean, they do very, very well. And then, as Pat was saying, just the various strata of management and professional areas you can get into are always there. And then the other big issue we haven't mentioned is the entrepreneur side of it. There are so many opportunities for someone to start their own business, and compared to other industries, they tend to be less capital intensive, and there's just room for all kinds of innovation and experimentation and growth there.
So hospitality, how do you guys both define that word? It sounds like it's more than just lodging, and it's more than just food services or banquet services.
Yeah, I'll let Pat follow up. But to me, it's everything that has to do with the visitor experience. When someone leaves home and comes to you, everything that they experience is some form of hospitality. What do you mm-hmm. think, Prof?
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think historically it meant hotels and restaurants, but it goes well beyond that now too. Private clubs certainly are part of the hospitality industry. Cruise ships are
Disneyland?
Part of the hospitality.
Absolutely.
Destination resorts, sure. Yep.
Has that industry been growing? Or is it subject to ups and downs and fluctuations?
It's growing massively. And just as one metric that I've become aware of fairly recently, world travel recently surpassed 1 billion arrivals, which is a billion people in 1 year.
Going from somewhere to somewhere else.
Went from somewhere to somewhere else. So that, you know, took all that time. So within another 10 years, it's proposed it's going to be at 2 billion. And so world travel is growing hugely, and that's reflected domestically as well.
Pat, looking into the future, are there going to be different challenges than there are today? Because I would think, and I guess this is probably the venture or the jumping point off for the second half of the show, that editorial opinion has changed the dynamics significantly in the industry, from airlines all the way down to the malt shop. Fair statement?
I think so. Probably so, yeah. And the industry certainly has changed with some disruptive activity. I just heard that Airbnb is the number two disruptive company in the country now, with Uber being number one.
We'll talk about that when we come back. It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Tony Smithers and Pat Willie. Both of the folks are from the hospitality industry at large. Pat's large is CR, and Tony's large is the Eureka Humboldt Visitors Bureau.
Getting better.
Yeah, it's going to take a while. 30 years of purging, it's going to take a while. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redeck. Before the break, Pat, you were alluding to Airbnb, which is an interesting concept. I put it right up there with B&Bs, and there, a buddy of mine said a long time ago, on anything, there are those that do and those that don't. For me, a B&B is a don't. I don't want to live in somebody's house. I mean, if I want a historical, it'll be a historical. You know, hotel. Motel, something along those lines. I don't like the concept of sharing bathrooms. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where I lock. Same thing with this whole Airbnb. I don't want to be in somebody's house if I knew them before, you know, or share a kitchen with them. Or it just is uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But I think as that industry matures, whether it's with the automobiles or whether it's with lodging, that they're going to be a very distinct, those that do and those that don't. But what about the structure of that? If Tony decides he's a ace driver and he wants to make an extra couple bucks on the side and he's going to be driving around with his roof down as a Uber in Humboldt County, what safeguards do we have that is something that is a wise or a valid option as a traveler?
Beyond me, I'm more the hotel guy. And
well,
Uber's.
Do Airbnb Uber then? Before. I mean, it's the same arguments for me.
Yeah. Well, they apparently are putting some controls into this now with Airbnb. The hotels or the private residences will rate folks who stay with them, and vice versa. We have several of those in Ferndale where I live, and for the most part, it's been good experiences, but at least one Airbnb I know had quite a bad experience with some international travelers, young folks with a lot of money who pretty much trashed their place. But they reflected, that was reflected in their criticisms of them with Airbnb. So there are some controls, but I guess it's not quite like a hotel with their own security force, a large hotel in a city or such. Not quite the same thing. But as you say, it's very much like B&Bs.
Yeah. Tony, do you have the same sense? Is that kind of what you've heard anecdotally?
Yeah. Well, these emerging disruptive technologies, Uber, Airbnb, they're certainly have sort of in a shakedown period, and they're kind of inventing themselves as they go. And Pat's right that the main constraint and correction agent of behavior has been social media. It's been, you know, consumer review and just, you know, peer pressure, which, you know, because of the transparency of information these days, translates directly into your bottom line. You know, if people are universally condemning you in the reviews on TripAdvisor or whatever, you are going to lose business, and there's no question about that.
By disruptive, what do you've used that phrase?
Sure.
A couple of times now. Is that because you're a traditionalist, or a protectionist?
Well,
where's that coming from?
It's a term that's being used pretty generally in many industries to describe new business models that are coming along that are turning the traditional business model on its ear. And so Airbnb, perfect example, where, you know, traditionally, if you want to be a lodging operator, you have to, you know, do all the expected licensing and infrastructure and all those dots you have to jump through hoops. Whereas the Airbnb person basically just cleans the room up and lists their place on this platform, and this company does all the marketing and financial transaction for you, and you get a check. Quite disruptive. And just, you know, as a way of illustrating it, the number one lodging operator in Humboldt County, if you just count the number of rooms available. So the biggest single property we have is the Red Lion, with something like 200 plus rooms to it. Airbnb is a far bigger lodging operator than that. They're the biggest purveyor of rooms in Humboldt County.
Now, is this different from those in Trinidad, for example, that have got a sign in the yard that says vacation rental?
Yes.
Or is that the same thing?
Well, there is definitely an area of overlap. And you'll find a lot of places who are selling their product on multiple platforms. So, you know, traditionally vacation rental has been more of a sort of standalone business. Certainly working with a company like VRBO, Vacation Rental by Owner, which was the first in the market, and HomeAway is another one, who set up a different kind of model. Airbnb, you know, came in behind them and sort of scooped up any kind of overnight accommodations. You know, there's a place in New York, I understand, where you can sleep in a taxi overnight. I mean, there's tents. I mean,
looking at the lifestyle, like the guys living in the trees, you know, the tree fort homes.
Sure, sure.
And yurts, so, and all that kind of. Those are slivers, though.
Anything goes. So, but a lot of Airbnb is, you know, someone's spare room, but a lot of it is also the full vacation home experience.
So, is it expanding the market, or is it shifting the market away from folks that have been doing it for a couple of decades?
Going by the only thing that we really can go by, which is the, you know, the revenue of bed taxes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, it has expanded the market. Or
because the price point has dropped, or the experiences have expanded?
The experiences, because the price point has not dropped.
Well, and these folks are charging the same as the Best Western or the Holiday Inn or the Hilton?
There's such a range. You know, certainly there's $50, you know, flop houses.
Sofas, yeah.
Sofas. But, you know, there's also plenty of $400 vacation homes as well. And so
the bluff homes, I think, is how I refer to them.
Yes. And if you ever go to some of these places up in Trinidad, they're worth it.
Yeah. So, Pat, how do you, as a professor, looking at and presenting the industry, take this into account? Or do you have to?
Not so much, especially with Airbnb and such. That is someone's private home. They can get into it very simply. They know how to make a bed and how to wash sheets and so on, and bed and breakfasts. Yeah, a little bit more technical there. Primarily what we're doing at CR, in the Restaurant and Hospitality Management Program, we're training people to move into middle management positions in established hotel companies. So they might go to work for the Best Western or the Red Lion or something like that.
So you're not looking to train Tony so he can do an Airbnb at his house.
That's correct.
It's a different ballgame entirely.
Yes. Yeah, I can do an Airbnb at my house?
Well, that's what you just said.
I'll talk to my wife.
Yeah, that would be the laundry and the yeah. So kind of apples and corn rather than...
A bit, yes. Okay. I know the ones in Ferndale that started up, it was quite simple, and they didn't have to do a great deal. And
that's kind of what the B&B started at, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Uh-huh. They have a professional association called CABBI here. I think they changed the exact wording, but I think it's still CABBI, C-A-B-B-I, California Association of Bed and Breakfast Inns. I think it's now slightly altered to maybe include... homes that are available as well.
The vacation ones that Tony was talking about?
Yes.
So as you guys are looking at the future of hospitality, whether it's one-on-one or whether it's a large corporate, where does social media fit into it? Not necessarily today, but down the road. Do you see it continuing to have the same influence, or do you see it kind of waning as vetting doesn't occur, and the novelty is now gone, and it's more structured than what it is today?
I think the genie is out of the bottle. The traveling public now, and particularly millennials who were born and raised in this environment, take complete transparency for granted. So. And they don't have the loyalty to the traditional brands. They don't care how many AAA stars or diamonds you have on your property. They're really concerned about what their peers are saying on
really?
Social media.
So you go up to a facility, it's got the five diamonds. It doesn't carry any water with them at all?
No. What are people saying about it?
Oh, really?
How's that restaurant reviewed on Yelp or Urban Spoon?
I'm glad I was born when I was. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:43. We'll be back with more from Pat Willie and Tony Smithers.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning. We're back talking shop. It's 8:49. Tony, in addition to the hospitality training, is there other opportunities for training, maybe more in a workshop forum?
Absolutely. In fact, the Bureau and the Hospitality Committee under Pat's leadership just finished our first, in many, many years, provision of a concierge training program. This consisted of the concierge classroom, and some fam trips that familiarized our frontline from hotel, motel, restaurant, all different walks of the kinds of referral places that visitors want to know about. So we trained a total of about 70 different employees in Humboldt County, 24 of which participated enough and went on enough to qualify as Humboldt hosts. And I'll show the radio audience this fine pin here,
Ooh,
the Humboldt host pin, which they are going to be awarded soon.
It looks really, really close to what you could have.
It could
instead of your big one with the old title of the.
It's a nice redwood cutout which says Humboldt host, and this is going to mean something because they had to work to earn this.
Thanks for coming by. Pat, hopefully you didn't have to work too hard on this show.
No, I did not. Thank you.
Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hugs and we hope to see you then.